Oh, yes. The best lead in music in the world.
It must be Eric Clapton.
Courtesy of Eric Clapton.
You're right.
He gets all excited anytime Eric Clapton plays.
Oh, especially funny. That early stuff.
Well, we had James who called at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. We'll bring him into the conversation. He has a question about trimming a lime tree and introduce who you've recruited to help with this.
Well, just so happens Rick Robinson with Stillwater Landscape Management is here today as our expert on tree pruning, and he's going to be in our backyard for the day here talking about pruning principles. If you have any questions about shrubs and tree pruning, today would be your day to join the tour. And for $5 per garden, you'll have the privilege of sitting and listening to Rick talk about pruning.
And, Rick, did you volunteer, or are you Tom Sawyer? Is John Eisenhower just getting some free trimming out of you all day on your pruning demonstration?
He can teach me about pruning, no question about it. And I was volunteered.
Okay, for volunteered.
This because I have friends that are master gardeners, and they know who to call.
Well, let's see if we can put y'all's combined knowledge together and see what we can do for James Lime Tree. Are you with us, James?
I am. Good
Go
morning.
Go ahead, sir. The floor is yours.
I got three or four years ago from Harper's when he was on McKellips, a two-gallon Mexican, I guess you'd also call it a key lime, and... It's now branching out finally, and I want to train it into a tree. As you know, that type of lime is a bush, and it's now grown to about 2 foot tall, and I have branches going off to the side a foot and a half or two. And I'd like to trim it down to two main trunk, and I want to know if this is the time of the year I can do that.
I would suggest, this is Rick Robinson, if it's only
good morning,
2 feet,
Rick.
Good morning. If it's only 2 feet tall, I would suggest let it be a bush for a while. Don't do much to it until it gets up maybe around 4 feet-ish, and then be very careful about what you take off. And some of the best things you can do with young trees, or in your case citrus, which is, it's not just your citrus, is essentially a shrub. All citrus are essentially shrubs. Is let it be a bush. All of the growth will happen more quickly. It'll grow more quickly. The more green tissue you leave on that shrub, tree, the faster it'll grow.
Yeah, there's a wrong notion that by trimming the lower branches that you will promote the top to grow taller, faster. And that's really not true, because the low growth on the tree is also photosynthesizing, creating sugars and starches, which are delivered to the rest of the plant to keep it healthy. So, I totally agree. It'd be good to allow that top to grow up several feet higher, and then you can start incrementally removing those lower branches, but very slowly. And remember, every time you remove a live branch from a tree, you're reducing its photosynthetic capacity. If you take 30% of the branches off of a tree, you've basically told it to live on lunch and dinner because you just took its breakfast. So just be very, very careful. Always be able to justify every cut.
It's very human nature to mimic what is being seen. And when you drive around, you see a citrus grove, a lot of them are trimmed up. So you think, well, that's the way it's done. You understand? That was probably done wrong. If you wanted it for fruit production, you never go to a citrus grove that's there for fruit production and see them trimmed up.
Well, as Rick just said, too, you're wanting to kind of accelerate this process, but it really isn't any help at all to start trimming that tree faster. You're just handicapping it and slowing it down, actually, to start taking up those lower branches.
And, James, now that you don't have anything to do this afternoon or this morning, since you don't have to trim your lime tree, you got time to go on the Master Garden Tour for the Real Gardens.
For Real People Tour.
Yeah, starts here in about 20 minutes and goes till 4 p.m., self-guided tour. Let's bring Susan into the conversation, who has a question about a lemon tree. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I went to one of the Master Gardener garden things about 10 years ago and talked to a gentleman about growing citrus in pots. I had been, my big lemon tree had died, and I'd put in two that had just bit the dust because they got run over by lawnmowers and stuff like that. So he said, no, I could put it in a pot. So I did, got a lemon and put it in a pot, and it's done great. But I put it in a half whiskey barrel, and the whiskey barrel is disintegrating. I have a feeling that the roots have probably gone through the bottom of it into the ground, and it's just kind of holding on by threads. It's next to a small chain link fence, and I'm wondering, is it possible that I can take like flagstone and go around it and just build dirt up around it so that it isn't disturbed a whole lot? I don't want to kill my tree off.
That's really good. We just planted a lemon tree ourselves just last week
in a
big pot, and we're excited about the possibility. You can, it's a dwarf variety, so it hopefully won't require quite as much rooting space. So,
well, they told me mine would become a dwarf variety even if it didn't start out that way because of putting it in the pot. And it's probably about 5 foot tall.
Dwarf or semi-dwarf, yeah.
Yeah, it's done really well, other than
To your question, Rick, what are your thoughts on trying to kind of surround that and then take away the old whiskey barrel?
I think it's a great idea if you can kind of build a planter around the tree. Don't make sure that you don't increase the height of the soil.
Yes.
Keep the height of the top of the root ball where it is. So build up to that point, but no higher. You can put a little organic mulch on top of that if you want to, but don't bury the tree any deeper than it already is. And you could use a variety of materials if you want to kind of contain the water or contain any soil from kind of running away from it. If you had rain events, you could use railroad ties. You could use treated lumber. They kind of create your own raised bed a little bit around it.
You know, it occurred to me, too, you could even possibly go to a grower and buy a box. You know, buy a 36 or a 48-inch box.
Take the bottom off.
Take the bottom off and just put it right over the top of the tree. And then you'd have a ready-made container. Then fill it, and you'd be ready to go.
Well, there's a couple ideas for you, Susan. Good luck. We appreciate the call. You can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we move north into Anthem and bring Brian into the conversation. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
All right. Texas olive tree. I really want one. I like the lush, bigger leaves and the flowering of them, but I'm wondering how big do you think they get in an area in Arizona, in Phoenix? And how evergreen do you think they actually are in that elevation there in Anthem? Are they going to drop a lot of leaves? Are they going to look kind of ratty in the winter?
They'll look better in the summer. I would tell you they'll get, depends on the size, you know, the space that you have. 15 feet is an awfully large Texas olive. I would say 12-ish is probably more typical.
Mm-hmm.
They're not dirty in that like a silk oak or something is, but, you know, the perfect tree that never sheds anything has not been created yet.
It's metal. It's art.
Yeah.
It's fabricated.
Yeah. Welded up. So,
To be around 12 by 12?
Probably
maximum,
okay.
And they'll get to that height relatively slowly. They're a pretty slow growing tree, so don't expect to just shoot up and achieve that height within the next year or two.
It does. They are the colder it is, the more leaves they'll lose. So if you have a fairly mild, almost frost free winter, it'll probably retain some of its leaves. If you have a more severe, even the one like we had this year, I wouldn't be surprised to see it lose most of its leaves, at least for a short period of time.
We appreciate the call. Good luck. Anthem's a nice area. If you're looking for something native, it's slow growing too. It is, in my book, you can't beat an ironwood.
Yeah, it's true. They are pretty Pretty durable trees, pretty bulletproof if you treat the roots right.
And just a beautiful tree. Once they bloom out, it's...
They'll get larger than you might expect if they really like where they're living.
Yeah.
Now, we had a gal that couldn't hang on the line, but she has a fig tree. And she's looking for solutions to harvesting a few figs. And her problem is the birds get to them just about the 2 days before they're ripe for picking.
Yeah, well, you know, just be as smart as the birds are, you know, and try to pull them a couple of days early and let them ripen indoors is one solution. Trying to, you know, protect a big fig tree, though, is pretty tough. You can net them, try to keep the birds out. You know, if it's a relatively small tree, you can try to get some bird netting and go over the top of it. But, you know, what we've done with several of our trees, they've gotten to the point that they're so big it's impractical to try to net them to protect the fruit. So we just let the birds have their portion, and we take what we can get, you know. And that's—I know it's not the best solution for some, but if your trees are big enough, you know, you can try to harvest them. And I even, you know, we'll harvest some of the fruit that's been pecked by the birds, you know. You know, we clean up some of the ones that have just some minor damage, and just cut those portions away and save the rest of the fruit.
It's a matter of managing expectations. If you grow it, animals are opportunistic, and they're going to find it. I've been standing here watching, trying to count all the different varieties I've seen. I'm sure you know, but you've got a covey of quail that are at least 20 deep over here in this Ocotillo.
And they find their – that's why I have an enclosed garden. You know, we were told if you're going to do a raised bed, enclose it completely. And I was saying, why? For rabbits? They said, no, quail. Quail are the biggest enemy of gardens in our neighborhood. And as soon as they said that, I knew this resident covey here jumps our fence and they're in our backyard just about every other day.
So it's like
sounds
Rosie
like
calls
a quail hunter
it,
would notice
a,
it. Notice
plant
this sort
prison.
Of thing.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. I notice all nature.